Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It is time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
And we are a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, in quarantine, we talk to good friends and great comedians about love, romance, and then we answer your advice questions.
And this one is no exception. This was a fun one. Dear friend, you've already heard her voice.
No, it's no, absolutely no exception. It is, in fact, the opposite of an exception. It is
par for the course. This next one is par for the course. It's amazing.
It's our old pal, Tawny Newsome. You've heard her on the show before, but you've also seen millions of comedy things.
Oh, my God.
I was a fan. I fawned over her.
He fawned.
In this, because before we even moved out here, I was a fan of hers.
Right,
from
the
Bajillion Dollar Properties and Comedy Bang Bang. You also know her from her podcast with our other pal, Andrew T. Yo, Is This Racist?
Yes.
Brockmire, Space Force on Netflix. And now. Just from last week, Naomi, just debuted.
Just dropped. Just
on
dropped.
CBS All Access, Star Trek Lower Decks.
Animated show about Star Trek. Tawny's voicing, giving me life, giving me representation, loving every second.
I'm very excited for an animated Star Trek that won't put me to sleep.
Ooh.
When I was a kid, there was animated Star Trek, the original series, on Sunday afternoons on Nickelodeon, I think. I would put it on, take a nap. Put it on, take a nap. I'm excited for one to be funny and exciting and voiced by awesome people like Tawny.
A Star Trek that'll make you stay woke. That should be their tagline. You guys, before we get to our lovely conversation with Tawny, just a reminder, you can always hit us up. Join us on Twitch. We're on Twitch every Wednesday at 2 p.m. PST, 5 p.m. EST.
Sometimes with guests, sometimes just us doing bits, doing Naomi's fan favorite segment, Naomi Hates.
You know I got a lot to say. You guys, join the CTQC, the Couples Therapy Quarantine Crew. It is a wonderful hour where we take a break, we have some fun, take a late lunch if you're at work, leave your spouse or partner or roommates.
Leave your spouse or partner all together.
I was going to say leave them in another room and then you go watch, but also leave them all together. I don't know. Don't listen to me. Why would I ever say that? I want you to be happy. The point is,
yes, go to twitch.tv/couplestherapypod. Again, 2 p.m. PST, 5 p.m. EST
on
every Wednesday.
Wednesday.
We're streaming. Also, As we are doing in quarantine, every episode now is a, almost every episode is an advice episode.
Yes.
And if you would like to ask your own advice questions, you can do it. You can DM us on Twitter or Instagram. You can also, and this is our preferred.
We love it.
This is our preferred. You better. We love hearing your voice. Call us and leave a voicemail at 323-524-7839. Ask, you know what? It used to be just romance questions,
right?
Relationship questions. Now, in quarantine, ask us anything.
Truly.
And we will answer.
Anything will answer it. You know I have thoughts. Also, it doesn't even have to be a question.
Oh.
Honey, sometimes you can just call us up and you can leave an accusation.
As listener Ryan just did. Here, listen.
Andrew, Naomi, it's Ryan from Dallas. I just wanted to give y'all a quick call because I actually have an accusation. So through this pandemic, one of the things I've held dear has been this podcast. And so typically I try to space out the episodes so I don't burn through them and realize I have nothing left to look forward to in life. So early last month, I was listening to the episode where y'all talk about the roach in your kitchen that you experienced and then defeated. And I just laughed and laughed because, you know, y'all are excellent storytellers. But I also definitely took notice of Naomi's recommendation of the Ben & Jerry's milk and cookies ice cream. Now, I am a Ben & Jerry's fan because they have been about Black Lives Matter and allyship and kind of putting their money towards causes they believe in for quite some time. So I do splurge and buy their ice cream, but I had never had the milk and cookies varietal. So because I'm still avoiding stores, I added the milk and cookies ice cream to my Amazon Fresh cart and couldn't wait to dig in. So cut to Juneteenth. I'm wearing my Beyonce t-shirt while listening to an episode of Couples Therapy. I'm headed to the kitchen to get my ice cream. Then I get a notification that Beyonce dropped a new song called Black Parade. So I'm all excited. I hit play. Of course, it's a cultural bop. I'm in the best possible mood, ready for my ice cream. And what do I see crawling on my kitchen floor? A roach. Now, I have lived in my house for 2 years, and I have never seen a roach, and I actually spray inside and outside every 3 months to avoid these situations, so I was horrified. So, I don't know if I'm accusing y'all as being responsible for this atrocity, or Ben, or Jerry, but I just feel like it's my civic duty to warn other Couple Therapy listeners, shout out to the QTQC, about the curse of the Ben & Jerry's Milk & Cookies ice cream, and how it might summon a roach. So, y'all been warned. Okay, love y'all. Bye.
Okay, wow. Okay, wow. Ryan came through with a very, that's a strong stance. I do not believe we are culpable.
It's very witchy. That's the witchiest connection.
It's a witchy connection. But you see, Ryan called us with that. We listened to it. We put it on the show. So the point is, give us whatever you got. Okay? 323-524-7839. We are in a dialogue. We're a community. This is a friendship.
That's true. Hey. We are building a community. We're going to eventually move to Guyana and start our own commune.
Oh, good God. No, Andy, not that one. Why don't we just get to Tawny?
Oh, yeah, this is great. Roll it. Tawny, hello. How are you? Well, I know how you are because this is the second time we've asked you how you are. So... You don't have to go.
But now it's for content.
Exactly. Exactly. How does that change your answer? You know?
Now I say I'm good. I'm thriving. I'm so fortunate. I'm so lucky. Shout out to our first responders and healthcare workers. That's what you have to say.
Always.
So you don't sound like an asshole yeah. when the world is bad and you feel like personally you're doing kind of okay.
Yeah. For the listeners.
That's what you have to do.
When you said that, you put on a white influencer kind of screen
right,
over you.
Right. She's got like a link to tummy tea at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
That's what she's for responders.
Yeah, I'm a little different. I don't do flat tummy tea. I just do tummy tea. This is tea for if you have a tummy.
Okay, well, that's what I'm drinking too. Okay, then I'm drinking tummy tea all the time.
Okay, good.
I'm drinking too much tummy tea.
Tawny, you are, you know, famously living in the desert. And I'm wondering, what is it like, you know, Andy and I are real city mice, if you will. And you had said before, you know, your closest neighbor is a mile away. You know, how often do you feel like you're in a horror movie? What is happening in the desert when the sun goes down?
It's beautiful. There are coyotes. Oh, I like to say, imagine all the things that scare you in the city.
Yeah.
But in the wilderness where they belong, they are happy and well fed, like things like coyotes. They're not coming after you. In Los Angeles, a coyote, that is a gang member, and that is a frightening beast. In the wilderness where he lives and thrives and works and eats, like they're sweet little pups that run around. I've seen a roadrunner out here. It's
what?
Magical.
Those are real?
Yeah.
Wait, the things that scare
yes,
me.
They're wild.
The things that scare me in the city are cops, other people, traffic. Uh-huh. Coyotes are uh-huh. on that list because I encountered one. And when uh-huh. when we first got Mabel and I took her out for a walk, she started snarling. And I'm like, what are you snarling at? I look over and there's a coyote just standing there like looking at us. And I'm like, oh, what do I do?
Nothing. I mean, in the city, I don't know. I don't fuck with city coyotes. I don't know what you're supposed to do with them. You're supposed to ask them if they need a ride. I don't know.
They're desperate. Like, you're right, though. Like, if a coyote has gotten yeah. to, like, our driveway, shit's gone wrong for that coyote. So, yeah that's
some
why.
Bad things have happened.
Exactly. That coyote's real mm-hmm. desperate and will do anything for a hot meal.
Yeah, I would say, though, like, mm-hmm. walking down a dark driveway and just, like, seeing two glistening eyes. Fairly right. terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm with you.
I guess I don't see a lot of glistening eyes out here, but even if I did, there's nothing out here that wants to harm me. Like, in general, the things out here just kind of don't want me around, but I'm not invading their space because mm-hmm. I'm like one little house. There's not a bunch of houses that have displaced the local whatever population. You know, yeah. it's just like the roadrunners deal with me. We saw a bobcat about a month
okay.
ago.
Okay.
The bobcat
Tony,
was just
you're not selling
laying
me on this.
Down.
Okay.
It's not for everyone, but you know what I don't have? Now, Andy, you mentioned cops. I ain't seen one of those. The last time I saw one was when I was in Los Angeles, so.
There, you're winning.
So how scary is it out here?
Let's be honest, in 2020, what's more terrifying, a bobcat or a police person?
A police person. A police person.
Indeed.
So, you know, you are someone who I always feel like, you know, you're very busy. You know what I mean? Like, you're working, you got your projects. Are you sort of enjoying having a little downtime in the desert? You know what I mean? Or, like, are you someone who's like, I need to be working on stuff. I don't know how to have this, like, forced downtime.
You know, it's neither. Or it's both, I guess. Because, like, it's not that I don't know how to have the forced downtime. It's like, well, now that television can't film, now that no one can ask me to be anywhere mm-hmm. at 4 a.m. to come to work, now I have time to do all those things that I was doing anyway.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm truly doing well, trying not to sound like a real jerk, but I'm like, this has given me time to, like, write music and record a bunch of music. This has given me time to, you know, work on our house. Like, my husband's just like a ranch hand out here. He just, like, builds this whole house and property, and we love it because we're not like, okay, but I got to get to Santa Monica by 4 a.m. to shoot one scene and then come back, you know?
Right, right.
So we're okay for now.
Yeah.
Wait, so, Tawny, it's just you and your husband in the middle of the desert?
Well, kind of. Wait, what's your question? And I'll say what I want to say.
Naomi evoked the trope of horror films before, but I'm thinking more of like a bottle episode, but it's your life. It's you. Wait, are there other people there?
Well, okay, so we have a housemate.
Oh.
And we have a big property here. And so I don't know if you saw my little Instagram. I was building that little Airstream trailer out. It's actually an Avion trailer, but whatever. So we did that so that we could have a safe place for people to escape the city, but like still be socially distant because it's totally away from the house yeah. and it has its own kitchen and stuff. So we have had like my bandmates came and stayed there for like 3 weeks. Okay. So we've kind of been operating like a little mental health commune. Like, everyone have some self-care, come out here. You know, like, you can pitch a tent out here and like we never have to interact. But like, just having people to like wave to or like bring you a jug of coffee in the morning and leave it on your little doorstep is has been a way that we have felt like helpful to people. Just like, hey, we have this space that's really helped us feel safe. Like, come here and use it in a safe way. So we're really not alone that often. My mom also bought, my mom's a crazy psychopath like me, and like the second this all hit, she bought an old trailer, not like an old vintage one, but just like one from the 90s, a little RV travel trailer. She redid the whole inside to an HGTV nightmare, wow. Insane, just peel and stick tile all over the whole thing, and drove it down here and parked it here for like 2 weeks. So she comes down and just like parks on my land, and then we can be distant. Okay. But like, it really has been like, people have been, I've been feeling like people need to escape the city, so we try and make that available for them.
I gotta go. We gotta go. I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, I just need to look at a new place. You know what I mean? Like, I need a new landscape.
Yes. Besides like driving every once in a while someplace else, our life for the last 5 months has been a 3-block radius around our apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's very like, okay.
I understand that.
Like, wait, here's the idea of a hippie commune. Does that appeal to you? If we were not in the middle of a pandemic or a pandemic, as Naomi has coined, would you? Is that something that like? Because you like camping, you are more of a nature person. You are a traveler.
You built a house in the desert.
You built a house in the desert. Does that does that appeal to you? Like your own like Californian kibbutz.
I mean, if we had better track records for them, absolutely. Because they all seem to end in something fucked. But Nate is going to hate me saying this on a microphone, but Nate grew up in a commune for part of his childhood.
Okay, there it is. There it is.
And his was like cute and like nothing bad happened to anyone. They all pooled their money. Literally like every working adult cashed their paycheck and put it, you know, this is the late 70s, early 80s, and they would just put it in a jar. His mom, we tease his mom because she doesn't know how to cook for anything less than 35 people. So she will make lasagna. So even when they didn't live in the commune anymore and it was just their family of five and they moved out, she would make lasagna, but they would have to eat it for a week and a half because the portions are too big. So that's in his blood. And then I grew up on a ranch. It was just, I'm an only child, so it was the opposite of a commune, but we had a big ranch with horses and stuff. And then I moved to Chicago and became like a city person and thought like, I'm going to be a city person forever. So now I think it's just the inevitable return to our roots.
Uh-huh.
Like,
sure.
We want to go back to the land. we're child free. So we're like, let's surround ourselves with other adults.
Yes,
you know?
Honey. That's a good time. I just want other adults and animals. That is my future. Just give me all these little animal creatures and be done with it.
Could you build a commune?
Commune.
A commune.
A commune.
Strangely, that was a strangely Henry Higgins type pronunciation. Could you build a commune where it is just adults? You're not allowed to have children.
I love it.
And
that seems,
you just farm.
I feel like I can't tell other people what to do. You know, we do kind of have a no children policy out here. Like,
yes.
And I don't say like,
yes.
We sound like such jerks.
Nope.
But really, it's because it is sharp and dangerous. Yeah. There are cacti. There are rattlesnakes. I'm just like, you can't be chasing your toddler around. You're going to have a bad time, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, we have nieces and nephews who we love very much. And, you know, as soon as they're 16 years old, I would love them to come visit.
Sure. We love all of our friends' children. And full stop.
Well, I really do.
Yeah. No, they're like,
I really love them. And I love going to their homes and seeing them in their environment. Yes. They show me all their toys. I'm like, that is where a kid thrives.
Right. Yes. Right, 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 right.
Yes, yes. Wait, are there brown recluses out there?
Probably. Mm. There are all over California.
Indeed.
Right?
I'm a brown recluse. I just realized. You said brown recluse and I was like, that's me. But
you know what? Every scary thing you ask me about the wilderness, I'm going to counter with something scary from being in LA. Like street parking.
Street parking can't bite you and necrotize your skin. There's something about the brown recluse spider.
Thank you for specifying.
That particularly strikes fear into my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand. No, I have a thing with spiders in general, but I think it's because I saw Arachnophobia when I was too young. Like, do you remember that movie Arachnophobia? I saw that at like, I don't know when that came out, 92. Like, I shouldn't have watched that movie, and it just was like burrowed in my brain. And I was like, unless we have John Goodman with a case of poison, we're not going to get through this.
Now, Naomi, did your parents let you, were they like, here, watch this movie with us, child? Or did you sneak off at a sleepover or something?
Oh, I probably just like, I feel like they let me watch it maybe. I can't remember because like I saw certain, there were certain things like, I'm trying to remember because I feel like we had the tape, like we had the VHS tape. And my mom would be like, I'll watch it with you. And so like if I got scared, you know what I mean? She would like cover my eyes or she whatever. But then I remember so distinctly, you know how I'm terrified of Child's Play? Because my mother, because I went to see that when I was like seven, but that was in Detroit. Because I would spend like summers and vacations with my family in Detroit. And my aunt and uncle didn't give a fuck. They were like, we ain't letting these kids stop us from living. So they literally would bring us all to like literally see Child's Play. And I remember just like sitting there frozen in terror. In a movie theater, because I was also like, it's so dark, and he's coming for us. So yeah, there are movies I probably shouldn't have seen.
And I think we now have the basis of the difference between you, Tawny, and us. What strikes fear into your heart, and what strikes fear into our hearts, which is anything.
And everything.
Yeah, yeah. And for you, it's like a handful of like, you know, actually awful things.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, something about Tawny and Nate, because, you know, famously, Tawny had us over for Thanksgiving 2 years ago.
Famously.
And it was like, and I realized like you guys project a quiet confidence. You're both a very like mellow, like I feel like everything is fine. Like in your world, I'm very like, oh, cozy and comfortable, cool, neutrals, everything's relaxed. Like you're both, it's just like a very serene energy. And I remember like when I met your mom, who was just like, she was even affirming to me. And I just met her. I said, give me the corgi. Thank you for the affirmation.
That's nice to hear.
You know what I mean? Because was it just you and her on the ranch?
I mean, she was married for a time and then she wasn't. So when I rewrite it in my brain, it was just
She's the one. She's the one, you know, you could trust. So like on the ranch, like, so were y'all like always super close, or were you kind of like, I'm going to sit outside among the horses and read my diary?
No, I mean, we were close, but she worked. I mean, my mom's only like 19 years older than me. She had me super young. So we've always been close, and she always worked long hours. So I would either get stuck with chores, or when I was being like an annoying teen, I like would sleep in and then not do them. But like when you have horses that have to be fed before a certain hour, like all of a sudden the ranch just starts making so much noise that you can't really shirk your duties for too long.
Oh, wow.
So by the time she would come home, if like horses were screaming and stuff, like she, you know, then we'd have words. But no, in general we stayed close. I mean, she taught me to like, you know, put shingles on a house and build a chicken coop, and
she's responsible
for all of my like DIY knowledge.
Yeah,
like, completely. I learned it all from her, which is really I think so fortunate. Women listening, if you have young girls, teach them this shit yourself, because there is a weird vibe when you learn this stuff from a man. So even the stuff, like my husband's super handy. He's basically a carpenter. So even when he teaches me how to use a power tool, I don't know how, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not him, but I'm just like, oh, like, I think what it is that most of the stuff I'd learned from a woman. And so I don't want it to be like lessons passed down from a dude. You know?
Is there a difference in the way, a man versus a woman teaches you something? I mean, there obviously is, but like, what is that?
Yeah, what did you feel?
I can only speak to my experience. I'm sure everyone's different. And, you know, my husband's also the most like gentle, sensitive man. Hello, commune. so there's no like machismo when he does it, but there's something in me that reacts to like, oh, this feels like a paternally, or like I'm being taught something. Whereas like with my mom, and my mom is way more controlling about how to do a thing. So this is ironic that I feel this way. But it was always just like, we have to get this done. We have to do it together. So we just, you know, I'd learn along the way. I don't know. Maybe it felt more collaborative or something.
Yeah, it is very didactic when I'm like telling you something, like how to like back up your computer or something like that.
You're like so impatient and you come in hot. Like, you're not annoyed. I think it's more like you're just very direct. And I think because for you, it's second nature. You say it really factually. And I'm like, Andrew, you know, I can't even get it out the box. Okay. So the fact that you're saying it's all factual, I was like, babe, start from the fucking base. Start from the baseline. You know I'm easily overwhelmed.
Are there things that you know how to do that you get the same way with him? Like, are you very didactic about things that you're telling him how
well,
to
of do? Course, all like social interaction. like all social.
Oh my God, there was always a spit take.
I almost lost my water.
But the same thing, Andy, though, he will push me off. Because that's the thing, like, I feel like, especially when like comes to navigating this business, you know, which has to do with so much personal shit, I feel like I'm good at connecting with people, even if, like, just kind of like that intro. And I'm always like, Andy, like, I think Andy is so talented, and I just wish he would learn to, like, be a touch more manipulative. Not really. Not actually manipulative, but just, like, just a little more, you know how you, I don't know, you just have to kind of work it a little bit. And I'm like constantly being like, this is how you should do this, or like say this first and then that, set like in an email or something. Not like, you know, I'm Sarah knowing him in a conversation, but like in emails and stuff. And I will do that. And he's like, hun, I'm going to do it my way. Like you go, hun. And it's the opposite of hun.
And you know,
you
what?
Say hun, but it's the opposite of hun.
And you and I are equally successful. So obviously, my way is the right way.
You just don't want to be told what to do, which is so dumb.
I remember back in like, my mom is an English teacher with a master's degree. And she was like correcting a paper of mine in like junior high. And I was so angry at her corrections.
Yeah.
Here's a woman with, you know, by that time, you know, 15, 20 years of teaching experience.
Right.
And an advanced degree in the thing she is correcting.
And the person who loves you most. Do you know what I mean?
Like, debatable, but.
And you are a child.
Thank you.
That's about this, you're a child.
But see, that's the thing. It's like Andy's parents, like, they let him be an individual. Like, he tells this story one time about how he did something wrong, but because his parents knew, but because they couldn't prove it, they did not punish him. And I said to I said, what?
Yeah.
And that's the problem. See, and that's why he can't take a note. Yeah. That's why he can't take a note on it.
See, and this is why I say, even though I am mixed and my mother is white, I say I had two black parents because I did not get away with shit. I didn't get away with it. If they smelled the idea of me maybe doing something wrong, I was on punishment. I don't understand that. And I was an only child, and I was damn near my mom's age. Right. Like, we're damn near peers now. And my upbringing was rigid, and I was such a nerd. I didn't do anything.
But yeah, me neither. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, you were a good boy, but you were a smart ass.
Yes.
Which, like, I would have got whooped. Like, I would get whooped. Like my mother, like, even if I just, like, looked like I was squaring up to say something back. Do you know what I mean? Like, if she would be like,
yep.
What you doing standing up straight? Like, she was saying, what you doing? You about to say something? It's like, no.
It's like, you put that spoon down real slow. It's like, I'm done with my cereal. What are you talking about?
It's like so crazy. But it's interesting you say that, though. I'm like, I always wish, because my mom is very handy. Or rather, she will take it upon herself to do things her way. Because, like, she bought a house in Harlem, you know, before Harlem was fancy. And it was, like, an SRO that she, like, redid, but also didn't have a lot of money. Took, like, years and years. And it would be, like,
still in progress.
Still in progress. Like, one thing at a time. But it's nice now. But so she would do stuff. And me, you know, as the only child, I was, in a way, like, I was the manual labor. You know, like, she would be like, bring me, like, we're carrying this, removing this. But she wouldn't actually teach me how to do it. Like, the actual, like, whatever, the nuts and bolts. And the thing with her, too, sometimes I realize when I'm around her, because she is very specific and she's very particular with how she wants it. And I realized that made me, like, even now to this day, in my 30s, when I'm around her, I kind of just, like, I just give over to her, or I don't make these bold choices. Mm-hmm. And then she gets frustrated because it's like, you too old for this. And it's like, it's because you always, like, had a way you wanted it done. And so if I didn't do it right.
You're waiting for instruction.
Exactly. Like, even now, it'll be kind of like, what do you need? And so when we come back to New York, every time we come to New York, it's like, I've been waiting for you to move some shit to the basement. Like, I have not been back in New York for a year. And she's like, we got to move this shit to the basement.
When we ask her what she wants as a present for her birthday or for Christmas or something, it's always manual labor. It's always like a day of, like, helping weed the garden.
Yes. She was like, I want you to help me in the house. Except this time, her birthday was just June 29th. And I asked her what she wanted. And she said, this time, it was new, Tony. She said, I would like you to, before you have a performance or a taping, I would like you to run your outfit by me. So that's the that's the present she wants now. That's the present she wants now.
That's the present?
Yes, because she thinks she doesn't like the way I dress, and she thinks that if I want to have a career, I have to dress better and I have to do my hair better. You know I have all this hair insecurity, and this is where it comes from.
Your hair always looks laid. It is flawless.
I want to learn to braid, though, because you be braiding. And, honey, you know in Quora, the roots are real. And I need to learn to braid shit. I was looking at a damn tutorial. I didn't even understand. She was like, use your dominant index finger to loop the... I was like, honey, I'm out.
Okay, you got to start small.
I need to do something with this head of hair instead of covering up with my pre-wrapped hair tie.
Look, I can send you some links. Yeah, I learned from YouTube. Nobody taught me how to do my hair. I used to wear weave all the time.
Oh, really?
I just wore straight weave. I just stapled that shit in my head and pressed it out and slept on it, whatever. And when I was like, when I had to get it taken out, if I had to go 2 days without the weave in, I was like, I don't know what to do. And I remember one time my stylist looked at me and just went, just wear your natural hair. And I was like, what? My little baby cousins taught me. They gave me YouTube. And this was in the early days of like YouTube hair stuff. This was probably like 2012 or 11.
Yeah.
My baby cousins, who all had beautiful natural hair that they were all doing themselves.
Yeah.
They were like, here, check out this girl.
You know. Taught you what to do.
Wait, how long have you and Nate been married?
It'll be 7 years next
year. 7 years, and how long together total?
10.
Okay.
Yeah, same as us. Yeah,
same
it's
as
ten.
Us, right?
10 years.
So how'd you guys meet?
We met in a band.
Oh, yes. Music Love. Yeah. I remember that.
Music Love.
But here's my other question. I'm sorry. I just have so many questions. It's like when I have someone hostage in podcast format, I ask them everything that I wanted to know. Okay, so like, you know, growing up with just you and mom on the ranch, you know, what was the... Did you always want to be an actor? Was that like a big leap to take, you know... Because I know you also didn't grow up moneyed, so it's also like, okay, how am I going to, like, make my living and do this until it pops off? Was there ever a time, I don't know, like, were you always all in? Or was it just like, I'm going to do a little comedy on the side, this is fun, and then it just kind of became more?
I guess I would say, like, I have an interesting relationship with, like, class and money because... We were middle class, and I understood that once I met other people who had less. Mm-hmm. But because I watch, and I split time, I lived with my dad on the weekends and my mom, and my dad was like very much like small house in the suburbs, everything pretty like regular, no DIY. If he needed something done, he paid a handyman or something.
Yeah.
Whereas my mom did everything herself and worked so hard and worked these long hours that I was like, oh, we're only middle class because my mom is a beast. Like,
yeah,
because she didn't have to, you know, she had friends and stuff that had her same job that like didn't do as well as we did.
Okay.
So I think it very much attached in my brain, like you can, you know, it gave me this sense of like a meritocracy that doesn't really exist in this country, but it gave me this idea that like if I worked hard and if I did everything right, then no matter what I chose, and this was very much reinforced by my dad, and neither of them are artists at all, mm-hmm. but my dad was like, work hard, be a good person, you can go wherever you want in life. And like they always supported that as long as they saw me working. And anytime, mm-hmm. I remember when I got my piano lessons snatched away from me because I wasn't practicing enough. And I was like, but I'm a kid, like nobody practices. I just still want to learn to play the piano. My dad was like, apparently you don't. So yeah, the like tether for them was like, as long as I was working at it, they supported whatever. To the point where even when I was like pursuing theater, I had gone to college for theater. I was in Chicago and like the theater jobs were just kind of drying up. And like I had joined Actors Equity. And so I couldn't do kind of the storefront stuff. I was just in this weird in between place. So I started singing in bands. And my dad, like every couple of weeks, would call me and be like, okay, I see your stuff about this band. You got an audition for a play coming up? When are you going to do a play? Where are the play? Like, he was hounding me as, like, some parents hound their kids to go to law school.
Yeah.
My dad was like, do the thing you worked towards. What are you doing messing around with music?
Wow, okay.
I hear they're doing hair at the Orpheum.
Yeah.
You gonna audition for that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was just short of, like, sending me the casting calls.
I love it.
So... Because I was in a band in college and a little bit after, and I, my we needed more people in the band. It was just me and my friend Kyle, and we needed the had like 20 instruments on every track. And so we brought in some friends, and one of them was my girlfriend at the time, who was great. Like, we didn't just bring her in because she was like a girl. She was like, she's a great singer. She's she was in bands before, mm-hmm. right? And then that fell apart. But you went the opposite way.
Mm.
You were in a band first.
I'm grateful I was never anyone's girlfriend in a band. I never had to be. I never was brought into a band as a girlfriend. That is one, you know, my musical career hasn't gone that far, but that's something I can always like claim to. Yeah, no, I was brought in by my good friend and now still bandmate, Bethany Thomas. And she was like, these dudes, they do this like kind of Rolling Stones-y bar band sort of thing. And they want like black backup singers, basically. And she had been singing with them for a long time. And she was like, these guys are really nice. They were all people who had like other careers. Like one's like a theology professor. One's a social worker.
Oh, wow.
These dudes just like... I know they're some of the smartest guys I know to this day. One of them was on Jeopardy. I'm just like, these are the most intellectual people that I know. And they also happen to be like, let's be in a band. So Nate was the drummer for that. And we met there. So we've known each other since 2007. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And was it love at first sight?
Yeah. No, because, like, I mean, I probably saw him once a month or something. You know, we would only come join the band when, like, they were doing a big show and needed horns and backing singers. And so, like, we just kind of, like, knew each other. He was probably the person I dealt with the most because he was sort of the de facto manager.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, emails between him. I don't know. And then we just kind of became friends. Yeah, and then we after maybe 3 years, I guess, of off and on hangs with the band. We started dating.
Okay. All right. And then what was that transition like? Was it someone being like, I will take you out? Would you like to go out?
Would you care to go out for an ice cream cone?
Exactly. Or was it just like after a gig, just drunk and make out?
No, I don't fully remember, honestly. I think it was more organic and like we were clearly such good friends and we're spending a lot of time together that people assumed we were dating before we even were type of thing. Yeah. But I don't remember like... a huge talk. He remembers a talk we had that I only remembered because I was on Nicole Byer's show, Why Won't You Date Me? And I was like trying to remember. I was like, I know I'm going to be asked about this, so I have to like remember. But I think we were exchanging like Christmas gifts or something. And I had bought him like a book about like business because he worked in advertising. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe you want a business book.
business book.
And he had bought me a vest, a white puffy Puma vest, which if he had given it to me now, I'd be like, oh, this is cool for like camping or like being in the mountains. But in like 2010, no one in Chicago was wearing white puffy warm layers. We were wearing like woolen pea coats and like doing like smart city dress, you know. So I was looking at this thing, I was like, this is not... It felt very like early 2000s rapper to me, and I was like, this is not my aesthetic. But I wish I had that vest now.
You didn't keep it? You didn't keep it?
No! No! That went to the Buffalo Exchange on Milwaukee.
First gifts.
Milwaukee app, and I probably got 48 cents for it.
First gifts are always very difficult. All right.
Yeah.
You're still trying to.
Oh, what were yours?
I got her. She likes zombies. She likes horror stuff.
Okay.
And I got her a compendium of the first 50 issues of The Walking Dead.
Now, Tawny, Andy likes comic books, and I knew that, right? And so at that point, because if we got together March, my birthday December, so you had some time to get to know my ass, okay? And
that's true.
I had said to him he would like read comics, and I was like, I don't get comics, honey. I don't know what order to read the bubbles in. That's what I told him. I would always be like, I don't understand what this like drawing is supposed to convey to me. And so the fact that I done told him I don't even know what order to read it in, and he got me. You should see how thick. It was this thick, Tawny, like 5 inches thick of comic.
I was gonna say the listener, Naomi's holding her hands like 3 feet apart.
And it was so much. And I was like, and it was also like, and it was so heavy. So it was also like, where am I? I'm not going to put this in my purse and like read it on the train.
You would have preferred a lighter tome.
I would have preferred a lighter tome that wasn't.
No tome. She would have preferred no tome.
That wasn't a drawing. And he's like, but you love The Walking Dead. I was like,
She liked the TV show.
But not a comic book.
Which is the original.
Sure.
Anyway.
See, I understand both sides of this. Andy, I think you're kind of exonerated. I understand the impetus. I bought this man a book about business. I said, you're in business. Here you go. That's just as bad. But Naomi, I too would not want, I would not want a giant book about anything that I like. I guess I have a book about Prince.
Okay.
I like that, but it's pictures.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just a nice coffee table moment.
Did you have a lot of boyfriends or partners before Nate?
No. What do I look like? I was a black girl riding horses and trying to be.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Dear listeners, Andy here doing the ad read again, and today we're talking about MeUndies. As the male half of couples therapy, I was asked to do this one because we're talking about boxers, which, and I hope I'm not breaking any confidences, Naomi does not wear. Now, if you're a podcast listener like me, you've heard plenty of ads for MeUndies, and frankly, I had always thought, it's underwear. How special can it be? And then I tried them, and friends, it is like wearing magic. It is like wearing a dream. It is so soft, there is nothing earthly I can compare it to. I am embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed to say I'm middle-aged and just finding this out, but the material your underwear is made out of really does make a difference. I won't say where I usually get my boxers from, but for comparison, MeUndies are like wearing a cloud covered in angel's feathers, and the other ones I wear are like wearing a bear trap smothered in puke. MeUndies got style for everyone, from all black classics to fun expressive prints in sizes extra small to 4XL. And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. Also, I gotta point this out, there is a particular technology that the folks at MeUndies would like me to discuss. Now, you know Naomi is sex negative and I am sex neutral, so I didn't want to have to say what this technology is, so I asked friend of the show, friend in real life, Mort Burke, to say the phrase. So, okay, here it goes. For any listeners with penises and testicles, I can say medical words. You might be interested in MeUndies sophisticated
contoured pouch and ball caddy.
What's that again, Mort? They're incredibly comfortable.
Contoured pouch and ball caddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, buddy. Okay. Soft underwear comes in all packages at MeUndies. So to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the Soft Smoothing Seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office. Okay, I need my layers, but I'm still trying to look put together. And the Soft Smoothing Seamless shirt is helping me get it right. And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in Heather Gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop.
In punk bands and stuff, nobody wanted to talk to my ass.
I'm surprised.
No.
I thought they would have all loved you. The prettiest black girl in all of like the fucking punk scene. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like those boys would be like, oh, we never see her over here.
No. No. See, this was before social media, and so people didn't know that outwardly they had to appear non-racist. So people were just like, hey, you're really cool and super funny. Now, you know who I really have a crush on is Natalie.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes, I understand that. Natalie Imbruglia. Who doesn't?
And there were very few black people where I was. I really didn't, like, have a core group of black friends until I moved to Chicago. Like, all my friends growing up were Filipino because my town was very Filipino. And then I got this one white girl who's still my friend to this day, one of my oldest friends. And other than that, I was like, the black people here, we're so far and spread apart. I felt like everybody was trying to, like, hold on to their own and, like, don't mess up my shit and I won't mess up yours. Like, let's all just
hide
a little bit.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
What a world. And then you got to Chicago and then you were like,
yeah,
a whole new world. Did you feel that? Were you like, this is amazing and magical?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it didn't happen so much at my college because I was still in a theater school at a Catholic university. So there weren't a ton.
The Catholic University? I didn't know that.
DePaul is Catholic. Okay. Isn't that weird?
Oh, didn't see it coming.
Because, like, nothing about it, other than seeing nuns more often than I think the average person sees a nun, it didn't feel very Catholic. But no, when I started like really feeling better was when I started like working. I would just like, you know, because Chicago, even though it's segregated, there are still just black people everywhere. It's different than LA. Like there's black people working at the bank. There are black, when you ask to speak to a manager, they're probably black. So then I started like teaching in some of the Southside schools. I started doing like arts outreach and teaching and stuff. And then like, yeah, I made a ton of friends. And then through theater, through like outside theater, I started working with just different theater companies where like they would put together a black show. And so then suddenly all the black people know each other.
Right,
finally.
Right.
Do you want to take a quick break and then come back and answer some listener questions?
I think so.
How do you feel about that, Tawny?
I think that sounds great.
Good yes anding. All right, we'll be right back after this.
Hey guys, Naomi here. Just wanted to take a quick break from Tawny to let you know that Couples Therapy has a Patreon. If you feel like supporting the show, you can spend $5 a month and get 2 bonus episodes.
Plus tons of other bonus material. We put all the audio from the Twitch shows up there. There's a pilot that we did for True TV Inside Caucasia up there if you want to watch it. Lots of cool stuff. Really does help. You know, a lot of that goes back into making the show better.
Yes, exactly. It's now a one-man operation, and that one man is Andrew. Also,
so, patreon.com/couplestherapypod. Also, what were you about to say, Naomi?
For $0, you can rate, review, subscribe to the show.
It's tough out there. We know that you may not have disposable income, but if you still want to support the show, you can do it. You know, go to, I think Spotify even does it now, but Apple Podcasts specifically, you can rate, review, and subscribe. I think subscribe is the important one.
But I also think the review, honey, the ratings, because, you know, that really helps bring, it's
the
about
review,
bringing,
honey.
The review, honey, it's about bringing the podcast to other people's attention, and reviews let people know, whoa, people are listening. Whoa, people have thoughts. Oh, there's an engaged listenership. Okay.
But also, you know what else? If you do have a little bit of disposable income, we got t-shirts.
We do got tees, baby.
We got t-shirts. We got two awesome t-shirts, the logo, and a Gotta Miss a Bitch t-shirt. If you go to couplestherapy.merchnow.com, you can order them there.
Beautiful.
All right. That's enough. Let's get back to Tawny.
And we're back with Tawny Newsome, ready to handle your scandal with these relationship questions. We got Tawny's backstory. We know she was a ranch hand, a nerd. She found her lover in a band. That's the background. And now we go answer some of your questions.
Do you and Andrew ever get relationship questions on Yo's Is Racist?
Yeah, and it's really depressing because the flavor of our show means that they're calling to be like, my boyfriend, he's not racist, but like he does have this Confederate flag that he hangs above our bed. And then at the end of the call, and it's like, and I'm a black woman. Thank you. Love the show. And we're just like, oh, honey, go get out.
Whenever we have sex, all he does is stare at it.
Oh, gross.
This comes to us from a direct message on Instagram just from earlier this month from Trisha.
Okay, Trisha. Using her name. Okay.
I believe she said I could.
No, I'm saying that means it's nothing that she's like ashamed of. Do you know what I mean? Like when people say make me anonymous, I know it's going to be juicy. But if she's using her name, you're like, okay.
Well, I like to start out with like a little bit of a softball. Yeah. Hi, love the podcast and love you both.
Bless.
I need advice, please. We're house hunting. And all the nice houses we can afford are far from the town center and transportation. And all the ones close are really ugly and need a lot of work. We need to move by November, and it's really been a weight on my mind. This is such a boring question, so feel free not to use it. It's no good. No, I believe they're in New York because I think Trisha said that they work. Her husband works at NYU. But I thought this was a good beginning question as, Tawny, you are a homeowner,
yeah,
who did buy a home far from the city.
Yeah, I'm an urban separatist.
What was the process? Because I remember talking to you about it. Because I was just so I was like, how do you buy a home and how do you do it? And
yeah, Naomi. Also, you every night to calm down, you look at homes on. Like,
I just
Zillow.
Like to look at pretty houses. I really do. So yeah, was there? I mean, again, you like the outdoors. You guys are comfortable with that. But was it from the jump? Were you like, let's get a place out like an hour away? Or were you kind of forced into going as you looked at prices?
We were kind of forced, but also, so we started our house hunting search in Chicago because we'd been married for a while and we thought we were going to really stay there and make roots there. And part of me still wishes that we could have made that work because it's my favorite city. I would love to stay living there, but they just won't. I just got killed off every ambulance show and they won't do enough comedies there. So, so we were looking for like a building. We wanted a 3-flat so that we could have a recording studio in the basement, rent out the main level, live on top. Like that was always our dream. And so we had started kind of planning and budgeting for that. Then we moved to Los Angeles, the land of everyone is insane and wants to charge you $900,000 for an 800 square foot bungalow. With no parking, no anything. The real estate in this town was so offensive.
Yes.
Having come from a beautiful city that may not have the Hollywood industry, but has plenty of thriving industries, plenty of people that do well. The imbalance to me was so offensive. But I still was like, well, we're such DIY people. We want to make our own space. Maybe we can compromise. So I was looking like way out, outer edges of Pasadena. Like maybe we can scrape together $700,000. For someone with like 4 or 5 TV credits, it was insane and it was impossible. And I really credit Nate for being like, we cannot do this. We'll be buried under a mortgage for the rest of our life. Like you're an artist. You don't want to be taking jobs because you have to. Otherwise, you're going to lose your house,
Right.
So I just drew a circle around LA and I said, whatever's within 90 minutes of LA, we're going to go see. And that has a plot of land and that seems, whatever. And it really, when I'm telling you a sixth of the price for probably 15 times the property, the land, like it was a no brainer for us. I was like, I'll forego Grubhub. I don't need DoorDash.
Wait, how close?
We'll just live out here in the middle of nowhere.
How close is the closest supermarket, say?
I don't even go to those because they're not good. So what I just do is once a month, I drive for an hour and I just go to a Whole Foods and a Costco.
Huh.
And that's it. And we have a deep freezer and we have a big pantry. And we just, one time during this pandemic, I did not leave this property for 45 days and I did not notice.
That's amazing. You could do that.
Yeah.
But
it's not for everyone, especially if this caller's in New York. Like, I don't know how you make this work in New York. I guess you buy the ugly place and learn some skills to make it cute, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, if you don't want to do the work, if you know you're not a person who will do the work, like, I know that about me. Like, because I don't know it. And I think for me, it's less even like, I'm always afraid of like being hustled. So I'm like afraid of being in a situation where I have to like call a contractor and then they gouge me for all my money and it's not done well. Like that stresses
me out.
They
did that to my parents. Right. We bought my, we had like a townhouse or a row home. We had for like the first 14 years of my life. And my parents are like, we would like our own house. We don't want to share a wall with someone.
Right.
I remember they were, I mean, they're paranoid people. I don't know if this is true, but like in my mind, they were paranoid about like someone else in the row home, like burning, like catching
burning it down. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. That sounds like your dad. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That may or may not be true, but it's, let's say it's spiritually true.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
It's spiritually accurate. And they finally, you know, they found a affordable piece of land and they had a contractor build it. And at some point, the contractor hit some kind of rock that would have been difficult to dig through and they would have had to blast it. And instead of asking my parents if they should, they instead just started building the house. And so we grew up with this insane driveway that's at like a 45-degree angle because they had to – they just started building the house there. And – There's a lot of other stuff, and this is my first maybe taste of like dealing with people who have more money and more power than you. Because my dad was like, "I'm like, well, can't you do something about it?" He's like, "What are we gonna do if we try to sue them? They'll like hold
tie
it
up, us
in,
up
court
in court, yeah,
forever, you know." And it'll just be like it'll be more money to sue them than we would get out of it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So we just had to live with it. They just had to live with this. Gross. You know,
it's terrifying every time you back out of that driveway.
Yes.
Like every time we back out, I'm convinced we're going to flip.
Yeah.
I think we're going to flip
it
over.
It is definitely the same angle as a roller coaster.
So it's like.
And so do you just lift up your arms into a little whip and you drive down it? Or?
I just hold. I like literally my whole body tenses up because especially if we're driving, at least now here in LA, we have a car now. Andy drives. But especially when we would go to Pennsylvania where I was like, bitch, you ain't driven a car in like 9 months. And now we got to go backwards at a 45-degree angle. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God.
But I like this dynamic here between us and you, Tawny, because I think you're getting the both ends of the spectrum. If you are fearful, like we are, then don't buy a house at all. Just keep renting.
No, I want a house. It's got to be turnkey, as they say on HGTV.
Or make so much money that you can buy the house of your dreams.
Well, this is the thing. This person who's like, okay, if I can't afford it, it's like, you have to move by November. And what you like... You know, and you don't, if you know you either don't have the money or don't have the ability to put the work in, then you're going to have to get away from transportation. That's just what you have to accept. It's the trade-off you make. And as you said, like, you're like, I don't need Grubhub. It's like, your life changes, right? Like, you get married, you get settled, you find a space you like. And to me, it seems like the whole point of, like, homes or, like, suburban life, again, as a New York person, I was like, I want a house because I've only wanted a house since moving to LA. And the whole thing is like, if I'm going to live in the suburbs, I got to do it right, which means have a house that I'll never want to leave. Right? Because like life is just a little more sedentary here. And like when you reach a certain age, you're like, well, if I'm not going to do too much, I might as well be as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
Yep. And I will say, just for another vote for the separatist project, I grew up in the country. In the 90s, when there was a little bit of internet, we had dial-up or whatever, but like there was no connectivity. You know, if my friend's phone was busy when I tried to call her, I didn't really, you know, she didn't have a cell phone. I couldn't text her. So living in the country then was tough. Living in the country now, when I'm doing like Zoom press and meetings from here and, you know, and you want to hang out and have a happy hour with friends. Now, the one weird thing about Corona is that it's made like video conferencing for social purposes chill and like fun. It is incredible out here. There's no, I don't feel like I've missed out on anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all I ever wanted was to be like fully self-sufficient. Like even before the world shut down, I was like, all I want is like, I don't want to depend on other people. I don't want to have to be close to Uber or have to be close to whatever. Like I should be able to do it myself. And then those things are conveniences, but yeah. So this has supported like my life philosophy, but that said, it's not for everybody.
Yeah. I want it though. Like I want it to be for me, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, cause I do admire self, like I want to be able to do stuff. And like that feeling of, I'm always like, like, our electricity went out on Tuesday. Honey, I was gone. I said, take me now. I said, I can't make it.
I know, I saw your post.
I was like, take me now. And it's like, no, like, I got to be able to survive the apocalypse. Like, I want to be Michonne. It's talking about Walking Dead. I need to be able to give you that deny Guerrera energy.
Well, maybe if you read the comic.
I would not have learned any skills. Don't you be trying to fight in front of company. Give us the next question.
All right. This comes to us from... This comes to us from a Twitter DM from the end of June. Mm-hmm. Hey, Naomi, Andy, and Tawny. It says special guest. You could call me... You could call me Lasagna... Since I think, I'll explain for a second. Because I was like, Tony's going to be like, how did they know I was going to be on the show at the end of June? And then I was like, let me fix this.
Oh my God. Like Tony would care. Tony. See, and this is why I wish you would take some of my advice when it comes to just, because he got to be so honest. He got to be so honest.
I understand.
I get tongue tied around Tony a lot because I was a fan of yours before we moved out here.
Oh, that's very nice.
I don't think I've had a conversation with you where I haven't stuck my foot in my mouth in some way.
I don't notice. Are you kidding me? No, you're a nice person in this hellfire town. I don't remember any of your missteps. I way remember other thing that monsters have said to me all the time. You're fine.
Thank you. Thank you for absolving me. I mean, I don't say anything awful. Just like I just get tongue tied.
Let me read Lasagna's question. Okay. Okay, you can call me Lasagna, since I think that would be a really good name if it didn't mean what it means. Also, I'm made of more carbs than protein at this point in Quarquar. Anyway, my question is about how to fix my mom's consistent, undying transphobia. So every week we watch RuPaul's Drag Race, and lately I've noticed she's been more spiteful than usual. She doesn't seem to understand drag queens and trans women are mutually exclusive, but can coincide. Recently she said something that made me so frustrated, I wanted to stop watching the show with her altogether. She said, wow. Ugh.
You don't have to read it.
So my question is,
she said something hateful.
Terrible. My question is, how do I begin to educate my mother more about the trans community and how statements, you know, bad statements are not acceptable? Thanks in advance. Keep being awesome. I mean, have you ever had anything with either of your parents, you know, especially as we've gotten older, where you've discovered they're like a little backwards or behind the times?
Yes, but to both of their credits, they both have come a long way. I think both of them have gotten more progressive in their age, my dad especially, which usually getting older, it goes the other way. So I'm thankful for that.
So you haven't really had to. I mean, Andy, you've definitely had moments with your parents where, you know, they've had views that you didn't.
My parents are very, they're like liberals. They are, you know, centrist, and I'm very far left at this point.
Uh-huh.
So we do have disagreements about things, and I have just stopped arguing with them. I have, but there's nothing in it, like, they're not transphobic. They're not phobic about any kind of group. So I've never had to deal with like abject hatred for them.
Right.
So but the people this is the thing though. I'm just like the people who in my life who have said hateful things, I just stopped talking to them.
Well, that's the problem with parents. You can't do that. You can't like ice them out. And especially it sounds like they're close. Lasagna and their mom watch Drag Race together. That implies like they're close. They hang out. This is not just like a person, you know, they're not just talking every Sunday for 15 minutes. So it does feel like, you know, it does matter what mom thinks and feels like. Whereas like, you can't just brush it off. But to me, Lasagna's like, I want to say I don't even want to watch the show with her because she makes me so mad. And part of me is like, yeah, do that. Like, don't you think? Like, start, like, if you're going to talk like that, I can't watch this with you. If you want to have a conversation about why what you're saying is wrong, hit me up. But you ruining the whole vibe of Drag Race. Like, you just say, like, you can't be around here if you're going to talk like that. And then hopefully, because I think, you know, especially, I think, you know, our parents, when they're close to their kids, they value that. And so then they'll be like, okay, fine. If that's upsetting you, I'll stop saying it. And I'm willing to have a conversation because they don't want to lose, you know, mom doesn't want to lose Lasagna.
Yeah. I support that. I think that all you can control are your actions. And so you can't you can say, I don't choose to watch this with you because your comments are upsetting. And also suggest that they learn more about this, because I'm assuming that Lasagna is not a trans person. Otherwise, that would have been another layer to this conversation. Yeah. But there's power in saying, you know, this is a gap in my experience, so I'm not going to sit here and educate you about all the ways this is wrong for fear that I might get it a little bit wrong. But I encourage you to go seek out some people to listen to, some books to read, you know, so that you can get educated about this, because you sound a little bigoted. And I think if your mom's a good person, she doesn't want to sound bigoted. Maybe she just doesn't realize how ridiculous she's being.
Yeah. Right. I mean, this is a larger question about, like, what do you do about the shitty people in our culture? Right. What do you do about the shitty people in our country who do say or harbor hateful things?
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, there's one thing, like, look, if you have hate in your heart, but you don't let it out, you know, go be with God. If you got a hate cage in your heart.
Right. Right. And you keep it locked up tight.
Yep. Go ahead. Fine. I don't have anything to say with you. I have a problem with the people who are out there just
letting their hate, their caged hate bird, caged hate bird sing.
Yes, there's
that's the problem. Letting their hate bird out.
And I think that's a real, like, that's a real conundrum for us all going forward. You can't do what I do for real.
Yeah.
And just, like, cut those people out of
civil
society. I mean, you can, but you end up with a culture like what we have right now. That's so, like, bifurcated and just, like, you know, civil war-ish.
Yeah.
So what do you really do to make, like, the people who are really transphobic and are doing awful things, like, how do we change their brains?
But see, the thing is, when you say, like, these people in society, I think it's less about that. You know, what do I always say, honey? Each one teach one. That's how you reach one. It's got to be about these individual relationships, because unfortunately for so many people, stuff doesn't, it has to affect them personally in order for it to be a real issue. So, for instance, in this case, you know, for mom, it's going to be my kid doesn't want to be around me. In order to make, you know what I mean? And so now that's a problem for mom. And so to relieve that problem, mom will then go do some work. And so it isn't necessarily these big sweeping, like, what do we do about these people in society? What do you do about the people in your life, right? Like, what do you do about the family at the dinner table? I mean, I feel very lucky that when it comes to politics, everybody's on the same page in the family. Like, you know, Thanksgiving's not stressful for that reason. So it's like, that's good.
For 30,000 other reasons.
Right, but not the political one. So it's like, so I do feel grateful for that, but I do know a lot of people for whom it is like, oh, we just can't talk about this whole other layer of existence. I don't know. Like, do you have any people? I mean, like, again, like, honey, you're a separatist. So I know you've curated a life, you know? But, like, do you have people in the fam or, like, you know what I mean? Like, people in the past where you're like, you problematic as fuck, but I'm related to you.
Or people in your past. Like, what have you done with people in your past who have, like, said or done ignorant things? Or like, it's maybe not, like, someone who's, like, said one ignorant thing. It's someone who's, like, continually.
Well, Tawny, you a black girl with a white mama. I'm sure you done heard a lot of it. So
It's like, all.
How have you had to deal with these folks?
I mean, so there's, like, there's definitely a faction of the family that I'm not really part of through her. And, you know, she loves these people, and I'm fine with a couple of them. But, like, I've just removed myself from it. So I don't, you know, I don't hang around with them. I try and, like, you know, if it's a Christmas thing or something and my mom wants me involved with them, whatever, I'll try and, like, support her. But, like, I don't really be going to, I don't go walk into anybody's house who I have a problem with, really. Yeah. Like, and that's just something I've only really been able to do in the last, like, 5 or 8 years. But it's also because, like, a lot of these people aren't blood and, like, I don't really, I don't know. Also, the black side of my family, I love them, but they are nuts. And they fully, like, they have so many grudges and pacts with one another. And, like, you're not allowed to speak to this person and these people aren't allowed. So on that side, I'm constantly like, y'all, like, I'm not in the generation that you're mad at. Like, can we come together? So I feel like I'm always trying to bring that side together. And the other side, I'm just, like, removing myself from. Again, because I'm like, I can only really control my actions and how I react to things and what that's kind of done is like, I don't know. I feel like they understand why mm-hmm. I'm not messing with them. Yeah. And I don't know. I also don't feel a responsibility to educate and fix any of those people because like they're really like not my people. Okay. I'm not responsible for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like love someone and you feel responsible for them, for them getting better, it's like how much work can you personally put in to help them get there? I agree with what Naomi is saying about making it super personal. Mm. Like, you know, that mom is gonna, she doesn't want her kid to not watch TV with right. her. So maybe she'll fix it.
Right.
I got an idea.
What?
Gift certificate, 5 free therapy lessons.
Lessons.
5 free
I like lessons.
Therapy.
Yeah. Teach her how to do therapy.
Get her a scholarship.
Yep.
5 free therapy.
I want to give out therapy lessons.
Therapy sessions.
Yes.
Okay, that's different.
Actually, can I say that going forward, that's just going to be the shadow answer to every question on this show.
Yeah.
Is get them therapy.
Get them therapy.
Buy them a couple therapy sessions.
Sessions. Give them coupons. Therapy coupons. I've made some calls for you to a couple of practitioners. They're expecting your call. Like that would be literally, I mean... Yeah, honestly, we all need it. We all need to give it to someone.
Do you guys want to try one more?
I didn't realize.
No, go ahead, Tom.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No.
My comment was so stupid, we don't need it. It was a dumb joke. Go.
All right, so here's a voicemail. Let me...
Uh-huh.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I am calling with a couple's quar question. That was really hard to say. Anyway, so you might not play this one because I know you guys don't really like to talk about sex that much on your show, but I thought I'd give it a shot anyway. Basically, my partner and I are reacting to the struggles of quar a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I am ridiculously horny, being stuck inside with him all day. I would just rather us be banging it out, and that would be a great way to spend the time. Tim, on the other hand, seems to have lost some of his sex drive because, you know, the quar makes you depressed. And so I am wondering if you have any tips for couples who have very differing sex drives, either all the time or just in a certain moment, and either from experience or any of your wisdom, if you could share any tips on how to navigate that. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. You know what? Okay. Tawny, you know, I'm famously sex negative. And so this listener knows that about me.
Yeah. And I'm famously sex neutral.
So, you know, negative, neutral. Yeah. And so
I think just to clarify, it's not that we don't like talking about sex, is that we just, there's parts of our own life where we're like, let's draw a hard line in the sand about what we will
share.
Yeah.
You can only commodify so much of this relationship.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm like, honey, you don't need to know about that.
But what if you started making bank as soon as you just started talking about sex? Would that make you feel better or worse about your relationship?
Oh my God. The thing is, I would talk about sex, but I wouldn't talk about sex with Andy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could talk about like the previous lovers I've taken because they don't count. They're just characters in a memoir at this point.
Nah.
But
yeah. They basically ceased to exist once you stopped gazing.
You know what? Understand? Go nuts. Go talk. I have no problem with that.
I think that is so funny what they just, she was really funny. She's like, I want to bang it out.
I can't believe that you did this on an episode with me. I am also famously, sex. Nothing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It makes me, I'm so prudish. With like, I think even in my private friendships, I've never been the girlfriend that people talk to about dates and hookups and stuff. I'm always just like, happy for you. Like, I actually don't get embarrassed if people tell me details, but I just don't share anything back. So I think I'm useless to talk to.
Yes. In fact, I had a burgeoning friendship with someone, and I remember him saying, like, you know, he's like, oh, you know, he was saying something about like some relationship he was in and some sex thing. And I was just like, uh-huh. And he was like, oh, don't you like talking about this stuff? And I'm like, I don't share. And that was the end of the friendship.
Oh no.
I can figure out the time of death. I can like JD in an episode of Scrubs.
Oh gross. I call it.
I can call it. And that was the moment.
That's funny, though, because I like to talk. Like, I used to, I think, when we were younger. And I think just as we've all gotten older and sex is no longer, like, exciting. Meaning not the actual stuff. See, and this is why I can't say nothing, Tony. You see how he react?
Oh,
I don't
boy,
mean sex
yeah.
itself. I mean, we're all at an age where we've all had it. We've had it multiple times. It's no longer like a, ooh.
Wait, multiple times?
What? We come.
You said just once.
Do you like, okay.
I did. I said one time to consummate. And then that's it.
But Naomi, do you enjoy talking about, because what I do enjoy talking about is like courtship and like dating and crushes and flirting. And when people are like, oh my gosh, I just started talking to this person, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. I get excited to like parse out the details
yeah.
with them.
Yes.
Maybe something happened to me at like age 14. And then, like, my body just grew in age, but my brain stayed there. Because I very much feel like we're looking through, like, a teen magazine and, like, pointing out who we think is
yeah.
cute. Like, I love that shit. Do you like talking about, like, flirting and stuff and, like, romance?
Oh, my God, yes. I loved hearing all. I mean, I think, like, sometimes these are my favorite episodes because I just love telling people what they should be doing with their lives and their relationships. I love when I'm like, because I have pretty hard lines in the sand. And I can tell you when someone is worth your time or not. I'm telling you, I know it.
Yep.
Like, I like that stuff,
yep.
but I think the sex stuff, you know, not early days of stand-up, you know, and I think a lot of comics go through this in the very beginning. It's like you talk about crazy hookups or crazy dates, you know what I mean? Like the stuff that is yeah. out of the ordinary or funny or silly, and that's what I like to hear. Like, I don't care, like, you know what I mean, where you're like, we just had sex all night. I'm like, okay, I want to hear about something wild, okay? Like, I want to know you, like,
yeah.
got a sex-related knee injury. I want to know that his mom called during and he picked up the phone. Like, give me something special. But I just don't want to, like, sure. hear about, like, you know,
buttholes.
Yeah, like regular sex. It's like, ugh, who cares? Sure. Who cares? Sure. You know?
Yeah.
But
so call it, what you're saying is if you want their attention, you gotta come with the wild shit. Like, please.
Well, I think call
wow them if you want them to answer.
Caller, I'm with your partner though. Like, I find myself very anxious in quarantine. Like, nothing. I'm like sexual anything. I'm like, honey, the world's burning. Like, it feels just so frivolous. So I'm on your partner's side. In which case, I'm like, my suggestion to you is, honey, handle your scandal. Handle it your damn self. Because it's like, you gotta handle it yourself. Don't you think if your lover's not interested, you've got to handle it yourself?
Get a gift certificate to. A sex store, sex toy store.
yeah. Do you
I thought you were gonna say fivetherapylessons.com.
But yes, a sex store,
vibrators.org.
Yeah, vibrators.gov.
And yeah, I guess that's it. What? Because what else can you do besides like drop some like Viagra in his? It was a he, right? Drop some Viagra in his soda.
And that would be terrible, because imagine like
oh, yeah,
not wanting to have sex, but then just having an erection you can't do anything with. It feels like that would be the worst kind of sex
oh,
ever.
Oh, don't actually do that.
Yeah, no, so Andy, I think they know.
Don't drug your lovers. I think that's a blanket thing, just so we're clear.
But I mean, this isn't the fun answer, but like the caller even acknowledged that he's
yeah.
depressed. I wonder if they've done anything to address that. Like, is he in therapy? You know, there's affordable and sliding scale therapy options if money's an issue, but like, you know the reason. At least this wasn't a call, you know, where like someone calls in and is like, my boyfriend's just not into me anymore. What do
yeah.
I do? You know, like, she's not taking it on herself. You said the man's depressed. I think you need to help him with that. And then
well,
the rest
facts.
Of your problems maybe will balance
that's
out.
That's facts. Okay, that's facts.
Yes. So five free therapy
lessons. Five free therapy lessons.
Because if you teach a man the therapy, he'll eat for his life.
He'll have good mental health for life.
Yeah.
But if you just go to therapy five times.
So, okay, I say you got to masturbate. These two say therapy lessons. Find the middle ground, caller. Find the middle ground between those two.
Both.
Do both.
Yeah.
Do
while,
both.
While he is doing therapy, teletherapy.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
Masturbate in the other room.
Andy, gross. You know I'm sex negative.
Why does it have to be concurrent?
Because there's something really that turns you on about a man handling his emotional issues. You know what I mean? You like know that he's.
I should have asked what the what the rating was on this show before I agreed to come on. I'm scandalized.
Oh my God.
And clutching of pearls.
This is PG.
Tawny prefers to talk about houses and renovation, and we just threw her a curveball. We threw her a curveball. I think just because you were like hippie-ish, I assumed you were open. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just assumed like the whole commune vibe, that not that we would talk about sex, but that I'm surprised to hear that you are like a little sex neutral.
Yeah, I don't know what my problem is. I think just growing up awkward, you know, awkward with my own like sexuality made me like, well, it's probably, as an adult, it's probably just better to keep it private. But like I said, I don't mind when other people tell me things. I just am always like, what do I
Honestly, that's the same vibe. I get the same vibe from Tawny as myself. Like, I feel like we resonate. I kind of knew that we were on the same level.
Oh, you did? You felt
sex neutral?
You felt a sex neutrality.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. A sex neutral, people can spot each other.
Yes. All Tawny's characters give off a sex neutral vibe.
Except Perfect Harmony. Yeah. You were just like getting into it and you had a little attitude. I loved it. A little sass in Perfect Harmony with Gino Seegers.
Sometimes you take a job.
But that was a character that was written for her. I'm saying the character she does herself that she creates herself.
Oh, yes. The characters, when she is improvising, she is connecting with a neutrality.
Famously sex neutral.
Sure. I actually recently did a comedy Bang Bang with Ben Schwartz, and it ended up getting a little like fake sexy sex talk, which we had not planned on. Yeah. And I didn't hate it, but I was like, oh, this isn't really this isn't what I'm best at, you know? But I was just trying to like yes and it. And it was funny and fine because he's funny. But I was like, in the back of my head, I was going, yeah, this isn't. I'm not this isn't funny.
Oh, my God. So real.
Therapy or quote unquote, handle your scandal, as you said now.
As I say. Oh, my God. Tawny. I'm so sorry we've left you uncomfortable, but
that's okay. I'm uncomfortable too.
I'm fine.
Does being sex...
Look, we'll all be fine.
Naomi, does being sex negative mean that you're cut off from the awkward feelings?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
It's like, I don't know. It's like so funny a dub. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay.
That's true.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You guys... This was a fun one. Yeah. I'm really happy we did this. Tawny, thank you so much for talking to us.
Yeah, thanks, Tawny.
It was so good to...
Thank you so much. This was super fun. I would love to have you out here if you can find it.
I would love it. I might only be able to make it one night. Like, I might not actually sleep. I'd be too scared. But I want to, like, because I'm imagining, like, I'm in an RV in the desert. And I just feel like it's like, oh my God, you'd hear the coyotes howling, the bobcats growling.
I mean, you were scared when we lived in the first floor of an apartment building. So
exactly. You never see people walking around, Tawny, like just walking around the desert, like no one walks by.
There are no people. Where I am, there are literally no people. I'm a mile away from the edge of my little like hamlet. And then there's no one. Mm-hmm. So, no. We are the people walking.
Okay, great. I'm in. All right, Tawny.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to see you.
See you all next time.
You guys are the best.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. Cup of apple syrup. Cup of apple syrup.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.